Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Fight anybody, you know, I'm only getting better. Just give me the opportunity and I'll rise up for it.
By unanimous decision, Pat Sabatini.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt, it's good to see you, man. How you doing?
Jimmy, you sound not tired, but a little like, what'd you do? You got a workout in this morning?
I am a little tired. It's funny you say that. And I'm also, my throat's a little, not sick, but clogged. Like I get to keep clearing my throat. There's something bugging me and I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's a little congestion, but I don't feel bad. Plus I did five shows in DC this week. So maybe it's just got my throat a little scratchy.
Now, when you do these five shows back to back, no, like not balanced.
One Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. Yeah.
When you do two on in a day, how much time in between those acts?
You do an hour on each show or 50 minutes and in between, like the shows will start at say 7:30 and 9:30. So there might be an hour and a half, 2 hours in between each set. Hour and a half.
Is there an adrenaline dump or you don't even get that anymore?
It feels great when you're done. Not necessarily a dump, but it feels great when you're finished. Like I like being done when I'm doing shows. Like there's nothing better than that feeling of walking off when it was a great late show. Because DC was, so the DC Improv is such an amazing club.
How many people?
Say 300. It's not huge, but the shows were sold out and it was really great. It's a really nice room. I think they would actually fit more, but the way the room is constructed, there's a couple of giant columns in there that they kind of have to seat around.
Jimmy, did any of your loyal fans, did they ask about me? Be honest.
Yes. When I walked up, I said, a lot of you may know me as the other half of UFC Unfiltered. And they chanted, Matt, 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 which was great. But it was a 7-minute chant.
Jeez, man. Well, listen, you know, that makes me happy.
Me too.
But now, did you ever like do the first show and it killed and then the second show you're like, or vice versa.
Yeah. In every order it can happen where there's a bad show in the picture, I've experienced it. Like the great first show and the lousy second show. And oh, yeah. 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 100%.
How often are they both? All right. I'm happy with that.
Pretty often because you work in good clubs. Like you always wish one was that line didn't work. Or fuck, the crowd on the late show on that night seemed like a little tired halfway through. Check spots will fuck you up. Like when you're headlining and you're on, they have to drop the checks they give the audience the checks. Certain rooms don't do that. And no club should do it because then everybody starts looking and paying the bill and it sucks the energy out of the room.
They shouldn't do that. That's awful.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, and by the way, we have a comedian, Al Ferrand is on today and Pat Sabatini. What a tremendous win over TJ Laramie. That decision really, really looked great and a great night of fights. And congrats to our pal Bilal Muhammad against Vicente Luque. I mean, that was a dominant performance, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was precisely the way you actually it was the opposite way where you picked it. I picked it, I think, the right way.
You did pick the correct way. I said it would be I thought Vicente by decision and you correctly picked Bilal Muhammad by decision.
hey, man, I don't want to be a bad winner.
But then again, I did pick Kyle Braho, Braho against Gaji Omagajiev, and you took Gaji. I took Fialo against Baeza, and you took Baeza. So, I mean, the rest of the card I got right.
Great night of fights. All right, let's get Al. Let's get to know Al.
Yes, I don't know Al.
I don't know him either.
I've watched his clips, though. He's funny.
Oh, I want to see you do if he does impersonation. Now, I can't ask him if he does.
I do really good ones, too.
Do you?
Yeah, I do Walken.
Who?
Christopher Walken.
Do Christopher Walken.
Ow! Matt, ow!
Possibly.
Hey, man.
Hello.
How you doing?
How are we, lads?
Very good.
How are we?
How are you, man?
Not too bad.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now, welcome to the show. I'm looking behind you. Are those photos of you with fighters and people you like?
Yeah. The top one there is Tyson Fury. The middle one there is Ryan Giggs from Manchester United. Andy Cole and Dwight York. With Mike Tyson, Anthony Joshua, and Floyd Mayweather up there.
Oh, you got some great ones too. Manchester United, I know they're a soccer team or football team. I don't know anything about soccer, but I mean, it's as big there as the NFL is here.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, it's huge. Well, see, I'm based in Ireland, and it's still big over in Ireland. There's a lot of Manchester United and Liverpool fans here, you know. So, yeah, it's the Premier League. It's also part of my work as well. Watching Man United, and they're pretty crap at the moment.
How are they?
So,
how did you meet Tyson?
Tyson Fury.
Oh, no, Mike.
Mike Tyson, he did a show here about 4 years ago in a place called the Helix. And that's actually a funny story because we were in the dressing room, and myself and my cousin arrived early. And little did we know it was Mike's dressing room, but we thought it was ours. And my cousin is a bit of a chancer. So he decided to eat a couple of the snacks there, whatever, the Skittles, M&Ms, the crisps, their potato chips and cans of Diet Coke and everything. And we were there for about an hour and a half. And then this kind of guard of honor arrived about an hour and a half later, and in walks Mike Tyson. The widest man I've ever seen in my entire life. His width is so intimidating.
Yeah.
And we got that stare. We got that stare from him. That's all we got. There was no words, just a stare, and we just left.
Well, now wait, let me ask, were you on a show with him? Were you open? Oh, so did you tell him, hey, I'm up first, I didn't know this was your room, or you just walked out?
I just walked out. And then a couple of hours later, the MC, because there was a live feed for the show in the dressing room, so he was watching it. And the MC asked him, he said, oh, did you see the young man doing the impression of you earlier on in the show? And he said,
yeah, I did. I thought it was very good. I thought, you know, I thought it was quite, you know, humorous, you know, so.
That's a great new Tyson, too. That's a great updated. That's how Mike talks now. And like, it's like a lot of guys who will do Pacino or Robin Williams. They'll do like older versions. But I love the updated version. That's a great updated Tyson.
Yeah. And that's it. It's how he sounds in his podcast as well. Because he was on with Joe the other day. And
that's what it's like. You know, it's very calm. And I believe, you know, when he was doing the show, he just launched his new weed farm, you know, in Nevada. And he was all about that. The branding was all for that. Even though weed is illegal in Ireland.
That's great.
That's fucking great.
I just saw a thing, and it makes a lot of sense, and I never thought about this before. I saw a special, it was Al Pacino, because I heard they do Al Pacino.
Yeah.
It was Al Pacino talking about his role in the movie Heat. And he said, look, he goes, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but the character used to like do little chips off of cocaine. So that he goes, and they never put that in the movie or anything. They might have took it out where he would do that.
Yeah.
But he goes, but that explains some of my scenes. And then they went into him talking about how she has a great ass. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? It makes sense, doesn't it, Jimmy?
Yes, that he was over the top. And it's like, what is Pacino doing? And then you're like, oh, he was supposed to be doing coke. So that's how a guy who's all coked up would act. They took out the cocaine part.
You ever see Al Pacino in Heat?
Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah,
I think it's an underrated gem.
You got any lines from that?
Well, I mean, the great ass line, you know. I think that's a very important line as well. I think. Well, what was the other one? Give me all you got. Give me all you got. I tell you, thank God I'm doing this impression before my daughter goes to sleep. Because when I do this, I wake her up all the time. And I get shit for it.
It's funny, too. Like, with stand-up, it's so hard to do on command. Like, impressions, I guess, are a little bit different. But it's so hard when someone says do it. Because I'm so filled with shame all the time that anything I would do well, if anyone asked me to do it, I'd be like, oh, no. But it's good that you seem comfortable doing it. When you do impressions, you kind of have to expect that.
Oh, yeah, you did. Well, listen, I've been doing it years. And anyone who just... You just name drop one of the characters that I do and I just go from there. And that's how my whole set works. Like, you know, it's me and kind of an MC, and it's kind of like a sit down interview for half an hour, 35 minutes, because I have done it as a stand up routine, but you do be forgetting. Fuck, you come off stage. You're like, Jesus, I forgot to do him. I forgot to do it. You know, so
do you work the States too?
I've worked the States a couple of times. Yeah. And not as much as I'd like. I'd love to work it a little more, because I know, like, the McGregor impression is hugely popular in the States, you know, and that's kind of, this is why I'm probably on this podcast, because, you know, that was the launch pad for me, the Conor McGregor one, you know.
Are you doing it now? Oh, like, no.
But you know what I mean?
There's
a difference. Do you know what I mean? So I'm talking like this. But then I bring it like that, you know what I mean? I get very intense about who I'm talking, and you know what I mean? It's 100%, Jim. You know, there's a lot of people that are doubting me. There's a lot of people that are saying this and that. You know, I will make that move with the welterweight. 170, I feel, is my weight. I feel a lot more comfortable at that. Do you know what I mean? And the great thing about what I do is I just skip the queue, lads. Do you know what I mean? The rest of them are all learning. I come back and I skip the queue and the company makes billions. Do you know what I mean? So that's it, 100%.
That's really good, man. Wow, is that a good impression? And it's weird. Sometimes that's how you know someone does great impressions, when you watch them and you're like, oh, yeah, that guy actually does do that. Like, when you notice things about the actual person that you didn't notice until you saw the impression of the person.
It's the inflections, that you pick up. But the funny thing is, and I say this in every interview, there's only one step to learning a full-on impression, and it's learning the voice, because the mannerisms, believe it or not, automatically come with it. You don't realize that you're picking up the mannerisms with the voice. You know, it's not a step-by-step process.
Well, are you guys different, like, for stand-ups? Like, you're a stand-up, but you, like... The difference with impressionists is I've so many different ways I've heard you guys get to things. Like, I'm good friends with Daryl Hammond, and Daryl talks about seeing colors, like, oh, he's a blue or he's an orange. And you talk to Frank Caliendo, who's really great.
Ah, the ghost.
He's an incredible impressionist. Yeah. And he does them from the back, and he talks about it's for him. It's all the throat and where you hold it in your mouth. Yeah. It's very interesting to listen to all of you guys, how you get to these amazing impressions.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you talk like Daryl Hammond as well. I mean, his Bill Clinton, that was his kind of thing, wasn't it? In the 90s on SNL, his Bill Clinton is incredible. But Frank Caliendo, for me, like, he'd be one of my heroes. I think every impressionist is, you know, they consider him their hero growing up. He's just, a perfectionist, like. Just the way he nails the voice down is just incredible.
What do you think? Oh, sorry, man. What do you think when you're watching, like, Frank? Because, again, I think all of them are hard. When you watch him do it, which is the one you're like, how the fuck did you get there? How did you get that one?
It's Bush. It's George Bush. There's so many, though, as well to choose from. But it's George Bush in particular is just, it's perfect. It's perfect. There's another guy as well. Joe Godet is his name. And he does an Arnie impression. And it's like, it's tone for tone, word for word, absolute perfection.
Wait, who's he do?
Arnold. He does great Arnold. Okay. Like, it's unbelievable.
Man, you want to talk about perfection? Hold on. Close your eyes. Jimmy, hit him with the Christopher Walken.
He heard it coming in, I think. Okay, here I go.
Picture who this is.
Oh, Matt. Oh, I mean, that's all I got.
Yes, Jim. Love it.
I wish I could do them. It's I really admire it. And I wish I was good at it because it's a real skill to have. And when you see somebody doing them, like Bill Hader does Alan Alda, and you doing Connor, yeah. like when you see guys doing ones that you don't see every day, it's really, there's nothing I enjoy more, I don't think.
But that's one as well. Like the one in particular that I've recently picked up is Woody Harrelson. Nobody does an impression of Woody Harrelson.
And it's, I mean, it's great. He has a real distinctive voice. And it's quite slow, but he comes across like a really chilled out guy. And I mean, that's what I love about Woody. He's just great. You know, he's chilled.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Hey,
that's great.
I want to know what it's like. Like you're a stand-up comedian in Ireland. How's that, that come about? Like, is that a normal thing? I mean, is there a lot of popular there to stand up?
Yeah, no, there's a massive stand-up comedy community in Ireland. Like there is, there's a lot of well-known stand-up comedians from Ireland that would have kind of made it big in the UK. There'd be the likes of a guy called Dara O'Brien, Tommy Tiernan. You ever heard of him?
I know Tommy, yeah.
Yeah, Tommy Tiernan is like, he is the top comic in the country and has been for such a long time. But, you know, we're a small country. In a sense, like there's what we've a population of 5 million. So all the comics end up over in London. You know, that's the next step. You know, there it's to get to the UK and then the UK to the US potentially. That's kind of the route that a lot of the comics would go in Ireland. In the Apollo and all that. That'd be the scene. Like it's kind of a stepping stone country in a sense, you know.
Oh, the UK is?
Ireland would be. Yeah. You know, Ireland would be domestically a stepping stone, and then you make it to the UK, and that's kind of your career.
Sure. I don't think I've ever seen Tommy do stand up. Like, I mean, I've seen moments of it, but I had him on the radio show years ago in the morning show in New York a few times. But I don't think we've ever worked together. I know he was very funny, and I know he's really, really a big comic there.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big deal over here. He is hilarious. He's just very witty. His timing is brilliant, you know, and he has his own chat show as well, which is a great concept. He doesn't know who the guest is. They just bring the guest out and they don't know who they are.
Does he know what they do or does he have to figure it out?
He has to figure it out.
Wow. I think I've actually heard of that. I just didn't know it was Tommy doing it. That's Tommy, really clever idea. What a great idea for a show.
Yeah, every Saturday night. Yeah.
It's not celebrities, right? It's just people.
It's celebrities and it's a mix. Yeah, it's a mix of people and, you know, well-known people kind of from the UK and Ireland.
Do you know Des Bishop?
Yes. Yeah. I know Des.
I see Des all the time. Yeah. I love him.
Yeah. Des is great.
I don't know Des, but hey, let's have some fun now that out. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes,
Matt.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're gonna play along here. Ready? Oh, okay. Look, Jimmy! Look who just came into the room here on Zoom. It's Nate Diaz.
Yeah, whatever, you know. So I don't give a fuck. Whatever happens, you know. So I just wanted a Connor fight because he's been ducking me for 6 years. So it's for real, you know. That's it. I don't give a shit.
Thank you. Hey, Nate, thank you. Nate, I'm sorry.
No problem.
No. We got Robert De Niro coming in, Nate.
Well, I got to tell you, you look at, Will Smith and the slap a couple of weeks ago, a decent slap, pretty good. No, he should be ashamed of himself, you know, but it was a good slap. You know,
Mr. De Niro. My goodness, we got the former president of the United States. We have Mr. De Niro. I'm sorry, we have Donald Trump coming in.
Well, you know, it's a real pleasure, guys. You guys are really fantastic, and I love this show. Me and Dana are wonderful, fantastic friends. I get on so well with Dana. He calls me all the time. I wish he'd play golf at Mar-a-Lago. We really would have a fantastic time. But let me tell you. Looking at 2024, it's going to be a great success.
Thank you, Mr. President.
No problem.
Wait, guess what, Matt? We have June Allison. People throw impressions that you don't do.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, listen, Jimmy, you brought up that movie. What's your favorite movie? Oh, that shit. Magic Mike. We got Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
What's his name? What's his name again? Matthew McConaughey. Say it again. What's his name?
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes. Oh, Matthew. Are you considering me to be a Magic Mike 3?
Well, that's a mix. I mean, it's a mix of me and Sean Connery, of course, you know, so you can try and we can try and blend that a little bit, Miss Moneypenny, you know, so yeah, yeah, that's great. It's a great movie. A lot of people love it. I mean, they love the topless scenes. It's all for the women. They just love it. It's all right. All right. All right. Very simple. That's it.
You know, what you do really well, too, besides the voice. The facial expressions very and I sound like somebody's aunt. Like this is how somebody's aunt talks about impressions. Oh, you do the faces. But I was watching your face and it really is incredible how you just almost change.
Yeah.
There's something about the essence of your face that changes. It's not just an impression, but like the essence of your face changes.
And as I said, it's so weird that the mannerisms, that's like automatic. I don't like learn that. It's weird. It's strange. You know,
is there anybody you've ever wanted to do that you just couldn't do? Like I always ask impressions. Is there
what's, so many?
Was there one like Holy Grail that you're like, God, I want to do that one so bad and I'll never be able to do it?
So many. I mean, Will Smith is a tough one. Will Smith's really tough. I know Jay Farrow does probably the best Will Smith impression.
Does he does a great Denzel too.
He does a perfect Denzel. Yeah. And but no, he was a Will Smith's a tough one.
Yeah. You know what I loved. Was when I saw who did Michael Caine? Steve Coogan does an amazing Michael Caine. And I know a lot of people do Michael Caine, but the first time I saw somebody do him, I was like, oh my God, this is just what a great thing to have.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's a brilliant impression he does.
So where do you tour mostly? Is it you? Do you go to London too, or do you mostly stay in Ireland?
It's a lot of it's in the UK. Yeah. I'm back and forth from the UK a fair bit, you know, like this week I'll be at the Fury fight and I'll be doing a little bit there with, I think Lennox Lewis is on, Ricky Hatton is on. It's like a big Fury Fest thing in Wembley. So yeah, that should be fun.
What are you doing? Stand up on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. You do some big gigs.
Yeah, yeah. And then the night before I'm in Manchester on Friday. And I'm doing a thing with Manchester United with the ex players dinner, annual dinner.
Now, have you done that? Because I'm telling you, sports teams dinners, I've only done one. It was two college football teams.
Yeah.
Miami Hurricanes and I think the Ohio State Buckeyes. And it was okay. But team dinners are very, very hard.
Well, yeah. Do you know? I think the crowd will be a little different. It'll be all the former players who are kind of, I suppose they're of a different generation. I don't know if it's the same in the US with the NFL, you know, but back in kind of the '90s and the eighties and nineties with soccer in the UK, there was kind of a drinking culture in a sense, you know, they'd finish up their game and they was straight to the pub and they'd be in the pub for days on end, you know?
So do you know how to do impressions of, I don't know any of the players, but do you do any of those guys?
yeah, a couple of them, yeah. I don't know if they'll be attending though. Roy Keane's one of them, if you ever heard of him.
Don't know who he is.
Yeah.
No. Is there anything worse than doing an impression for someone who's never heard of the person? Fucking, I know, it's probably sort of slap me. But they'll know who he is.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. And Sir Alex Ferguson as well. You know him, you got to know him.
No.
Oh, he's the Man United manager. He's like the... What was the name of the Bulls manager? The Bulls coach.
Oh God!
And the Phil Lakers
Jackson.
Coach,
Phil Jackson, Pat Riley.
He's like the Phil Jackson of soccer.
Oh, okay. So he's kind of revered by everyone, and he's seen as the guy.
He's the guy. Yeah.
Now Pele, is he still well known in the soccer community? He's the only guy. Oh, I know.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. Yeah, yeah. He's like a global ambassador for FIFA.
Are there guys that are better than him, or it, like yeah, there absolutely. Are? Right? He's just the name.
Yeah,
great like player.
He's a brilliant player. But if you look at the best players of all time, I'd probably put the likes of Ronaldo and Messi ahead of him. I'd say he comes third behind Ronaldo and Messi.
Yeah, but were they in a movie as good as Victory?
No, absolutely not, Matt. Yes, 100%. Not as good as
Victory.
That. Nobody,
you never seen Victory, Jimmy?
Is that with Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't remember who was in it, though. I saw the movie, and I don't remember
A-Lay
who
was in it.
Oh.
A-Lay was fucking in it.
Yeah.
Kicking Pele that upside down famous Pele kick.
Did he only do that once, Al, or is that like a common thing he did?
No, he did it. He scored like 1,000 goals, Pele.
But how many over his head like that?
Oh, I'd say he scored plenty over his head. Like he played a lot in the Brazilian leagues. And then now that was the question about Pele. He played in the lower, in kind of an easy enough league. So he was never kind of proven in the Spanish, Italian or English leagues. He never played in those leagues. That's why he kind of,
he is one of
the greatest of all. Now, when he played in the World Cup, he showed up, you know, he definitely did. He was the best player in the tournament. But that's kind of the big question mark over Pele. Would he have played consistently in those leagues?
It's like almost, and it's different because steroids are cheating, but it's when they look at certain guys, yeah, but he hit 58 home runs, but would he have done as well without it? They kind of say, would Pele have done as well if he had played in these other leagues?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the big question mark.
My question is,
What's your question?
No, it's not for you. It's for Mr. Pesci. I want to know how come there was never a My Cousin Vinny too.
I don't know what the hell. I don't know. Ask the fucking producers. I don't know. You know what I mean? I asked him plenty of times, man. You know, I called him. I said, when do you make this fucking movie?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to swear on this? Am I okay to do that?
Yeah, you're okay, Mr. Pesci.
Let me tell you, it's a fucking disgrace. I fucking agree with you. I wanted the movie. I wanted it to happen.
Is it because, Mr. Pesci, that Herman Munster died? Maybe.
Something like that. I don't know. But possibly. But they insisted on me doing Lethal Weapon. I enjoyed that movie, but I had a bit part in that fucking movie. You know what I mean? I had top billing in My Cousin Vinny. Why didn't they make it? People loved the fucking movie too much. They fucking wanted it. They cooked the fucking thing every time. Why not make a second one? It probably would have been shit, but it would have made a lot of money at the box office, like the second Dumb and Dumber. You know what I mean? It would have been shit, but who gives a fuck?
That's true, Mr. Pesci.
And Mr. Pesci, I'm sorry that my co-host didn't know that Herman Munster's name was Fred Gwynn. Oh, I apologize.
I'm sorry. You played Herman Munster. That's amazing, man. You're really good, bro.
Yeah, it's really, I'm watching clips. I really enjoy you a lot.
Cheers, lads. Thanks so much for having me on.
When you're going to, when are you going to London?
It's Saturday.
Where can people watch your stuff? I Googled around, but is there like a place you'd prefer to send people? Do you have a TikTok or Instagram or where?
Yeah, I have a TikTok. My TikTok, Facebook and Instagram is at Al Foran Comedy. And then my Twitter is at Impressionist Al. And then I have a YouTube as well, Al Foran Comedy. So, yeah.
Well, good luck, man. It's really good talking to you. And if you're ever in the States, let us know. We'll do it in studio. I mean,
I'd love to.
Do you have plans for here or no?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely plans. You know, it's in my aims are to try and get more work in the States in the coming years, because there is a demographic there that, you know, enjoy the content. So most definitely, like, you know, I impersonate a lot of the celebrities, a lot of the actors that are in stateside. You know, it's kind of my focus. A lot of my Irish impressions are kind of minimal in a sense, because, you know, there's a lot more opportunities in the US. Sure. So that's the truth of it.
Do you do a Ronnie Drew impression? He's the only, my favorite Irish singer, Ronnie Drew.
Oh my God. I wish. What a man. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay,
that's a great request. I'll get back to you on that. 100%.
All right. Well, you're really great, man, and I'll definitely we look forward to you coming here. Yeah. And good luck in Wembley. That's a tremendous gig, and you're really funny.
Oh, thanks a million, lads. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. Big fans of both of you as well. Thanks so much.
Nice to meet you,
Al Foran. Thank you so much, buddy.
Cheers, lads.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
He's really good, man. Yeah, I was watching his clips, and I love someone who can do impressions, especially when they do them as well as he does them. So, yeah, that was really fun.
Hey, Jimmy, we're going to talk about these fights a little bit.
We do have to talk about the fights.
Really quick, though, on the prelims, a couple of things that really stand out. Dracar Close.
Wow.
We haven't seen him for a while, but he came back, and he came back in a big way.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked great versus Brandon Jenkins.
By the way, how tough is Brandon Jenkins to survive that first round? And into the second round, I think he was mad that it got stopped, but they had to stop it.
Now, I mean, listen, it was a good stoppage, and I'm happy to see Dracar Close back because, dude, he was, you know, even when he fought Benil Darnoush, he had him a little hurt before he got caught himself. So, I mean, he's a beast, and I'm happy to see him back in the mix because he never disappoints. He always brings the fight. And also, by the way, Devin Clark, who headlined that prelims.
Incredible.
Incredible what? That we found him on Looking for a Fight?
That was incredible, but I mean, he looked great against William Knight. I mean, that was a really great fight.
I mean, shit, we have an eye for talent. But the thing is this, it's not about us and us and talent that produces wins in the UFC. But that win over a very tough William Knight, I mean, I like the way Devin was putting it together, man. He knows how to strike the grappling and his shots, his control, and he knows how to put it together, man. And he bounced back. His last one, did he win his last one? Is that when he lost? When did he fight Anthony Smith?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But all I know is he's looking good. And I was really impressed.
I wanted to mention one more fight, Matt. Andre Fialu against Miguel Baeza. That round one TKO. Wow, was that a great fight. A couple of brutal uppercuts. And I think Baeza looked like he was winning that round. It was close, but I think Baeza was winning that round. And that was a really, that was a beautiful round one stoppage.
Hey, man. Yes, I agree with you 110%. And not to skip all over the place, but Belal Muhammad, he had to beat a guy that stopped him by a knockout.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I know it's been a while. But you got a guy that there's definitely a guy that's going to take a little space up in your head because you know the guy bested you in the most obvious way. So for him to come back and fight extremely technical and his takedowns were very well executed and very well, just the timing on them was really superb, you know? And he's shown that with his Wonderboy fight. But what he's shown even more so, I thought, than the takedowns is his ability to even to strike. Like, people forget the guy can strike. So he gave enough for Vicente to worry about and to keep guessing with the stand-up to make those takedowns come that much easier. So I was impressed, man, you know, because Luque's in that fight. He was trying to stalk him, trying to land his shots. But the striking combined with the timing of those takedowns was just too much with Belal.
Yeah, I thought he won four of the rounds. I mean, maybe he did. I don't remember the final score, but... I'm looking it up right now. I thought that he won four of those rounds. I'm trying to see where you can see the actual judges' scores.
What's so nice about him having a threat on his feet also, Belal, is that, you know, when he didn't get a takedown, he got some beautiful takedowns, but some of them were defended and stuffed. He would just reset, walk right back, and just, all right, now I'm striking. Now I'm watching my distance. Now I'm working my footwork. And until it's time to go for that takedown again. So he never looked desperate for that takedown.
Right.
Even though Luque was trying to stalk him, he never looked like he was running. He was using his footwork laterally. And I was impressed. Come on, man. The other guy's Luque's a beast.
Yes.
That was, you know, he means business. Now he wants Colby Covington. And I think that'd be great. That'd be a fantastic fight because, you know, they both blend it up. They both blend it nicely and they both have good luck. They both have good gas tanks.
Yeah, Muhammad, you're right. He moved so well. It was almost like Luque just couldn't get couldn't get set at any point because he was going left and right. And he said, and I kept, think they kept saying staying on his bike, but he really, really kept moving beautifully. And he did not run out of gas at all. Wasn't that Luke Gato's not used to going that deep into fights? When's the last time Vicente had a five rounder, or was it his first time in the fourth and fifth round?
I don't, it might be. I don't remember. When's the last time he headlined something?
Yeah. But even then, I don't know if he went that deep.
Shit, man. I'm not sure.
Hold on, but I'll look it up while we're chatting. And that was 49-46, two of the judges. One said 48-47 from Bilal, but I thought it was even more decisive than that. I thought 49-46 was accurate.
Well, what we're looking at, let me tell you about my little, my week end.
Yeah. First time in the fourth round was this fight. Wow, incredible. Sorry, Matt, go ahead.
No, that's more important than what the fuck I'm doing. I'm just shooting the shit. But we're going to have Pat Sabatini on soon.
Yes.
So Thursday night, I had a team dinner to celebrate Aljo's win at Eddie's with the team. So much fun. And then right from there, I drove over to my buddy, my black belt buddy, a student and pupil for a long time, Frankie Bam Bam Oyegi. And we did a road trip, me and him. We went to AC because I had little Edwin fighting.
Edwin, right.
Edwin Smart, my brother-in-law. And another guy, Pompos, was fighting. And another guy from the team, Charlie Campbell, he won. And Pompos won in great fashion. And Edwin lost. But, you know, I worked Pompos' corner and Edwin's corner. Pompos was beating this guy. They beat him the first round. Between the second and third round, between the first and second round, the round, he was on top at half guard. And he was controlling him and hitting him once in a while. And in the last 10 or so seconds, he unleashed some fury, right? Now, look, man, I've been around long enough to see the levels in this shit. He was winning either way. I tell him, Jimmy, you're going to win this fight either way. Now, how do you want to do this? Do you want to win it like this? Because you could easily win the way you're winning, the way you're fighting. Or fight the way you fought the last 10 seconds of that last fucking round. Do that right now. Get out there and fucking do that. Put a stamp on this guy. And that's what he did. He went out there and he fucking mauled the guy after that. So good for him.
With TKO in the second?
Yes. He got down, got on top of him. Getting the shit out of him. So there's that, which is great. Sometimes they need a cattle prod.
Sure.
Because it's easy to ride out a win, you know? But he did phenomenal. I'm happy with that. Nice kid from Greece, from Cyprus. And this other, and my brother-in-law, Edwin, he fought an undefeated fighter. Forgive me, I don't know his name. It was a Viking something rather. And he looked apart. He looked straight out of fucking cattle cut. He had the fucking Viking hair. And he was big and wide. So it was awesome, man. When my brother-in-law fights, it's like fucking, you ever see that movie Pacific Rim with the big robots for
something? Yeah.
That's what it's like. You got fucking giants in there. And I'll tell you right now, Edwin lost, but shit, he never fought so well. This other guy was undefeated, 3 or 4-0, whatever it was. Edwin's got a share of losses. Edwin's 41 years old.
Yeah.
He does it more for the fucking love of it, you know?
He likes to fight.
Hey, he's under sanitation. He's got a job, you know? And so, dude, he was fighting well, keeping his positioning, standing, fighting up the clinch. Second round, Edwin was all over him, taking him down, almost getting a fucking Kimura, almost got a Kimura from standing. I mean, dude, he was a fucking beast. He was fighting so technical. And then the guy pushed back on bottom and he got him into actually a heel hook. Edwin had the tap. It was his bad knee. So he got caught. But up until then, he never fought so well. So I am proud of the guy. So
it was amazing, too. You said he's a sanitation guy. Yeah, and I get so tired. I bitch about an hour in the gym. He works a full-time sanitation job and still finds time to train.
Yeah, hey, dude. Some guys, you know, they got to exercise their demons, man. You know what I mean? I mean, that guy's, you know, I'll tell you right now, if I had that guy 15 years ago, I that guy'd have a run in the UFC for sure.
Right.
You know, even 10 years ago, because he's athletic as fuck. Now he's having a good time.
He's a big dude. I remember that.
Yeah, he's big dude, strong dude. Now he's a perp butt under me. He's using his, dude, he was passing the guard in there, doing takedowns. It was awesome.
But if anybody hassles him in the street, he's prepared.
Yeah, I believe he'd be ready. We already got the routine down with my oldest, who's 13 now. But in how many years from now, hopefully many, when she brings a boyfriend home or something, we're gonna meet him at the door like a scene out of Bad Boys. We already got it down.
You do.
I'm gonna tell the kid. I'm gonna be like, whatever you do to her, Uncle Edwin's gonna do to you. Picture that now. Picture that. All right. You don't want to write. You round any bases. Uncle Edwin's gonna round those bases with you. Okay. Listen. And he's just gonna sit there and look at him. So anyway, dude, it's all good. So then after that, the next day on Saturday, I had what I call the annual Sarah BJJ Jedi gathering. It's all my, you know, as many of my black belts I could make it, and I catch up on their degrees and whatnot. So I had, dude, if you look at my Instagram, I had, I think 61, 63, 60 something black belts there. I've been teaching for over for the 20 years on Long Island. So I had 60 something black belts there.
Oh, nice.
You know, we had a nice, you know, we had Umberto's come down, we got by the fucking 16 pies of pizza, some heroes. We had a nice picture. We had the families down there. It was nice, Jimmy. Matt Sarah BJJ, look on my Instagram and feel the love. Feel the good vibes from that post.
I did. I saw your photos. I see a lot of your I watch all your jiu-jitsu clips too.
Now I'm gonna go through it and see if you got a like. If you didn't give me a like, then that means you just saw it and just got off it. So
no, I was waiting for a love button because I love something.
Oh, you little pervert. All right, Jimmy. Listen, we got Pat coming on in a couple seconds.
I think so, yeah. Jairzinho Rozenstruik, Alexander Volkov, fight night on June 4th. That's a good fight. That's a really, really good fight.
2 days after my birthday?
Yes, that's why they're doing that.
June 2nd, Jimmy. June 2nd is my birthday. Are we going to celebrate or anything?
Absolutely.
Maybe get together?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to celebrate separately.
So
every year on your birthday, I like to get blown. I'm sorry. That's
just... We're definitely celebrating separately. Listen, Jimmy.
Yes.
All right. I mean, listen, go ahead. Keep plugging away.
Usman said he thinks Khamzat Chimaev got a little caught up in his own hype before 273, and he absolutely sees holes in his game. And Usman is the betting favorite, I guess, and he should be the betting favorite. He's the champion, and he's been a very dominant champion so far. I mean, I don't know what people have to fucking what does Usman have to do to get people just to realize he's probably the best fighter right now?
This is what Usman, he's got, listen, nobody's going to do. He's going to keep winning, and he's doing that. So I'm not worried about Usman. Nobody's going, oh, look at these guys. They'll beat Usman. Usman's a fucking stud. And I don't know. I don't see any sign of him slowing down. What I would like to see is Khamzat fight Kobe or Behel Muhammad fight Khamzat. Let's see that. Let's see. I want to see any one of those three. I want to see one of those. I want them to see one of those, that mix. Belal fight Kobe, because you're seeing guys with all of them got, there's different degrees in wrestling, I know. So, you know, I know Belal might not have the credentials, but there's also MMA grappling. So
right.
Wrestling, it's different. You got the cage wrestling and whatnot. So, and they're all dangerous standing up. They all have great cardio. Okay. Personality wise, that's important too, because it makes it more exciting. I like all three of those matchups. Mix them up any way you want. Khamzat, Belal, and Kobe. I want to see one of those guys. Give me one of those for the next fight. I need one of those guys.
That's right. Yeah. Kobe Belal makes sense too, because Belal also doesn't seem like he would be uncomfortable with Kobe shit talking.
Yeah, but as far as the shit talking, Belal won't like it. Anyway, listen to me. Hi, Jimmy. Get that out of your mind, please.
No, did you? Dana White is saying, Dana said that maybe Jones Miocic in the summer. Ooh, would I like to see that? Jones hasn't fought in 2.5 years by that point. It'll be 2.5 years.
Now, know what's so interesting about that? What is Jones going to do to Stipe? What the fuck can he do to Stipe? Stipe has a great chin, really good at striking. Grappling, he's no fucking lemon. He's not getting taken down and smoked by Jones.
No, he's not.
He's got really good jiu-jitsu, man. I've seen him at my school. I've seen it firsthand. He's a big boy who's got a good sprawl and brawl if he wants it.
And you wonder, Jones, I guess with the oblique kick maybe, would he be able to keep him back with some of those? Has Stipe faced anyone that was as damaging on the legs as Jones can be? Maybe. I mean, that's what I think John would do. But it's really depressing that he hasn't fought in almost 2.5 years. I mean, I know some of it was him moving up to heavyweight, and some of it is the legal stuff. And it's like, I just hope he's, whatever has got to be fixed, I hope it gets fixed. Because I really miss him fighting.
Well, let's get him back, man. Shit, I want to see him fight. I want to see him fight. We'll keep him out of trouble, too. Get him in the cage. You know what I mean? How old is John Jones now?
I'm going to guess 34.
Well, now you're just guessing.
I am guessing. So, by the way, Poirier hasn't heard anything from the UFC. Believes Conor, a fourth fight will be booked. Why?
What about Him versus Nate Diaz.
They're not Sugar Ray Robinson and Jake LaMotta. We don't need to see the same fight over and over. I would love to see both of these guys fight other people.
Me too. You know, but I would also like to see, and I saw it this morning, I'm going to finish watching it after, is the rest of The Batman on HBO Max. It came out today. If I had an applause button, I'd press it. Jimmy, it's so much. What are you looking at? Birds flying?
No, by? I just saw somebody walk by on my terrace. I was making sure.
Yeah, but I'm talking to you about The Batman, Jimmy.
No, I know, but there was I thought there might have been a Batman on my terrace. Ooh. I'm going to see Batman, but I haven't seen it yet.
Call Batman.
All right, I'll set you up to talk about it. Hold on. Yeah, na, 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 Batman.
Na, 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 na. I, pow, zoom, bam. Remember that shit from back in the day? Fucking asshole. Jimmy, remember that? That was a fun show.
It was a fun show.
This is dark. It's got a Nirvana fucking score in it there. You got the whole thing in the background. It's and he kicks shit out of people. You're going to, dude, it's dark and gloomy. You're going to love this, Batman. Yeah.
I'm sure I will. Everyone is saying it's really good, and I actually want to see it, but I don't. I pee so much, I'd probably wait until I could watch at home.
I'll tell you, Jimmy, I was up a lot last night. There's no, sorry. I had bathroom issues all night.
You shitting or peeing?
Peeing, mostly. But then, and then a little bit. And then if I use the bathroom in the middle of the night, and it's a number two, I'll shower, because I don't want to feel gross.
At night?
At night, I will. If it's bad, like if I feel it's like, you know, you do the one or two wipe test and you're like, all right, I'm not, I can sit here and clean myself up, or I can be really clean and shower and feel really nice and clean.
See, that's really different. When I do that, like if I, especially if I have the runs, I pick one sock and I just wrap it around my hand and I use the sock. One wipe, undo it, go right back to bed.
So, Jimmy, Pat Sabatini.
Yes.
Had a fantastic fight.
Oh, he sure did.
I heard some of those, which round, one of those rounds was
10-8. Yeah. Two of them might have been, but it looked like, I'm going to guess the second round was 10-8.
Is that because there was more strikes when he had the back than when Aljo had the back with Petey on? Aljo definitely could have got a 10-8 for some of those rounds. Because if you're scared of scoring rounds that the other guy, either he won or you gave the round, one of the rounds that Jan won, it's a 10-9 round. So how you scored at the same as when Aljo controlled him from start to finish with on his back? Right. How is it the same as 10-9 with a closer round? Like, I don't get it.
I can only guess that maybe you're right. Maybe it was different judges or B, the strikes. I don't know.
Something in the way. Ready?
Yep.
Ooh. Hold on. Something in the way. Yep. That's the song. That's the yep.
Good stuff.
Jimmy, I don't when I do hear your show with Sam Roberts. I never hear you say it's kind of tough and kind of rough to get through. Imagine you with me 5 days a week.
Me and Sam only do 4 days a week. But I'll say that this feels like 5 days. So
yeah, only 2 days for an hour.
Oh, okay.
I mean people want more.
I know they do. I know they do.
And I'm one of them. What about you?
Sure, I would.
All right, don't rule it out.
No, I'm not.
Listen, now that this crowd's back, can't we do like a nice get-together in an intimate setting with all our like closest fans? You know what I mean, Jimmy?
I would do that, a live show, maybe for the summer, maybe in Vegas.
Let's fucking go. Oh, wait a second.
What?
I'm getting my knee replaced on June 28th.
Oh, then we won't do Vegas. I don't care.
Jimmy, I'm going to be a little lemon for a little bit.
That's okay.
Oh, one of our fans, I want to thank him. I don't know what his name is right now, but he sent me a DM. And usually when people send me shit like that with videos, I hardly even click on them because I don't know what the fuck they're sending me. But he's like, here's something to make you feel better about your knee. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And it was him and I think it was his mother. And she's like, hello there. And I'm 78 and I got my knees done. I don't know if it made me feel better or worse. But basically, it was she could do it at 78 and she feels great. Her legs are stronger than I could do it type of thing.
And you can.
Anyway, I'm just trying to say.
I'm happy you're doing it. I think you should do it.
I have to. I mean, I'm walking so fucked up lately that I have to do it, dude. And I'm going to be better for it, Jimmy. Look, I was on Bisping's podcast the other day and we were talking about the knees again. Because I go, dude, I do look at you. You kind of inspire me because you're I hear stories about guys rolling on their knees when they get knees done, it's this and that. But you're actually, I see on your fucking Instagram, and I've been with you, I seen how you used to walk, but I see you kicking the bag, I see you running. And then I'm like, do they recommend that you run on these new legs and it's the new knees? He goes, the way I figure it, he's fucking funny.
Yeah.
He goes, they got a shelf life of whatever, 15, 20 years or whatever it is. I figure I'm going to do what I want for the next 9 or so years. And then if they have to do them over type of thing, they have to do them over anyway. But I can live the way I want to live for the next decade. So, hey, dude, it's kind of, I mean, listen, I'm not going to be fucking running because it's not my thing. So, but it is a live in the moment type of philosophy he's got there. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's not being really careful with his new knees. That motherfucker is abusing the fuck out of him because he figures they'll just have to go a little quicker. And who knows, by technology then, maybe you get fucking bionic legs, you know?
Yeah, but I think you're smart to do it. I think you should. I mean, because your quality of life will be better. And it is a new knee, and, you know, you're not going to be throwing a whole lot of kicks, right? You're more on the ground.
Yeah, two new knees. Yeah. And you know, when I got two new knees, I mean, all together, it's going to be, I don't know, whatever, 6 months, 8 months before I fucking, and then between knees, maybe in like a year, I'll be back to myself and then better. But hey, man, we'll get through it, Jimmy. What a gathering I had at my school the other day, Jimmy.
You enjoyed it.
Oh, shit. We had such a good time, man. I have good people around me, Jimmy. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, it's nice.
I heard Pat Sabatini's coming on the show.
I don't know what the rumor is, but it's not looking good.
Better let us know soon. I'm going to have a talk with his instructor, Daniel Gracie, and say, hey, dude, let's get do some extra push-ups if he's going to make us hang out.
Well, we'll give him a couple minutes. Sometimes guys mix up the time. It happens.
Is he getting a Philly cheesesteak or some shit? Where is this guy?
He might be busy.
All right. Well, I'm just saying. I mean, the Batman just came on HBO, and I also got a jiu-jitsu school to get to.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely – you have two things that you really need to do.
Jimmy, we have so much fun.
Yeah. By the way, what did you think of those technical decisions? One was an elbow to the back of the head. Barnett lost to Badai. And also Caio Borrego over Gaji Omergajiev. He won over that technical decision for the knee when he was down. I guess in combat, man, guys, I know they say, the Cormier, I think, was saying, how can you say it was not intentional? But I don't know, maybe you would speak to it better than me, but when you're fighting, sometimes it just gets away from you. How does that happen?
Sometimes, dude, it's blatant, the way Jan did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But other times, the hands down, the hands up, you don't know, man. You're in the middle of it. So the only one who could really answer that is the guy who threw it. You know what I mean?
What was the fight, Matt, you might remember, where there was a guy with his hands down, and it might have been Jones or whoever lifted him a little bit, and then his hands came up and he drilled his knee into his face. I wish I could remember the fight that was, but it was some. Do you know which one I mean?
Oh, dude, I don't know, but I do know that Pat Sabatini's done with his Philly cheesesteak.
All right.
Sorry, Jimmy, I do remember that, though.
I don't remember who did it, though.
I don't remember it either. There's been
we'll ask Pat Sabatini. Great win over TJ Laramie. Very, very dominant performance. And it was a 30-26 across the board.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Gotcha now, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
What's up, Pat?
Can't complain. Yo, Matt Sarah. What's up, brother?
Yo, man. Yo, you guys are doing something right with my buddy over there, Daniel Gracie.
Oh, dude, he's the general, brother. Whatever he says, we do, and it's been going good so far.
Listen, man, there's tons, thousands of jiu-jitsu oriented schools, but like, what is it about Daniel Gracie? He doesn't, because I tell you right now, I forgot how many fighters you have in there from his squad, but there's a number of you guys, and you're all having great results. What is going on over there in Philly with you guys, with Daniel Gracie?
Man, you know how it is, you know, just nothing different than just normal hard work, a lot of situational live stuff, and, you know, just following Daniel's lead with the jiu-jitsu, Coach John Marquez with the striking, and, you know, we all push each other like a family. It's awesome, you know.
What did you think, Pat, too, the fight? There was two technical decisions, one elbow to the back of the head and one knee to the head, both pretty dangerous. It's odd to see two on the same card. And Matt and I, before you came in, we're trying to figure out, there was a fight we're thinking of, maybe you remember it, where somebody had both hands down and the other fighter lifted them. And when their hands came off, they drilled the knee up and it looked illegal, but it was totally legal. Do you remember that fight?
I actually didn't get to see this fight. Was it the heavyweights maybe?
This fight that I'm describing right now came like weeks or months ago or years ago. I can't remember, but it was a very notable moment. The heavyweights was Martin Budai and Chris Barnett. That was an elbow to the back of the head. Like, a, you know, what do they call it? The 10 to 12 or the 12 o'clock elbow.
I caught, I think, the tail end of that. I was in the back in the locker room. I saw it on the screen, but I didn't see the other one. I didn't know that like something like that happened twice. That's rare. It's crazy.
Yeah. It was a knee to the head. And the reason I'm asking is too, because you had, you should have been very happy with the judge's decisions, but you said it wasn't your best performance. And I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah. It's sometimes, man, when I go out there, I feel like I'm a slow starter. And then other times I just feel on from the first bell. I feel like this one, I didn't really start like waking up until like halfway through that first round. I was made a couple like bad decisions in the moment there, but that's just me just being, you know, self-critical. That's all. I rewatched the fight. You know, I'm glad, you know, glad everything went the way it did. And, you know, go back to the gym. We fix whatever, you know, we can, and, you know, we get better for the next one. That's all.
Now, Pat, it's your first time on here. We always like to get to know you guys a little better. I was about to ask about a hobby, and then I started reading about how you became obsessed with fishing.
Oh, dude. Yeah, right after this, guess what I'm going to do? It's awesome.
In Vegas?
No. I'm back home now, man. Oh. Back home.
Okay. tell me about the fishing. Now, what, you just recently got into it?
So right around the quarantine, you know, I had like a little bit more time on my hands. And, you know, my grandpa, my dad, they had me fishing when I was a little kid. I was really into it back then. Got away from it for like, you know, other interests and whatnot. And then, dude, it's just become like more of like an obsession than a hobby. Dude, I love it, dude. I can't get enough of it. It's such a thrill. It's such a thrill. Anytime I go on a trip, like whether it's a trip with the lady, whatever, she's like, you're bringing your pole with you, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah. Sneak off any chance I get some casts in. It's awesome, bro. It's very freeing. It's a good bounce. My head off of the MMA. I love it.
So let me ask you, because I hate fishing because I've never caught anything. I'm a terrible fisherman, and I just get frustrated. I always have to shit when I'm fishing. You'll go by yourself and just kind of like zone out and relax?
Dude, I'll go by myself. An hour turns into two turns into four. Before you know it, the sun's going down. And I don't get bored, man. I love it.
And what do you now? There's fly fishing. Do you just kind of leave the line in the water, or do you like, is there like a proactive thing you're doing?
Dude, I bring three poles with me every time. I throw one out with bait, you know, let that sit. I like to work a lure with the other one, but I don't really like fly fishing. Maybe I'll give it another chance sometime, but I'm not really into it. But I like lure fishing the best.
I don't like fly fishing, any kind of fishing, but I do like A River Runs Through It with Brad Pitt. Did you ever see that movie? Sorry, Pat. Let's get back to that. That's my ADD kicking in. But you know what's great, Pat? I said that. Jimmy didn't even hear. He just looked at me.
Yeah. No, because I've never seen it. And I just know that you love Brad Pitt.
It's an old movie, and it's such a good movie. It's a Robert Redford movie. Anyway.
I don't know.
A River Runs Through It. I'm telling you right now, people are going to chime in on this, they're going to love it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. People get it. Fighters get into different things that are like, some fighters like the golfing, which are you golf or no?
No, it doesn't hold my interest, man.
I'll tell you, everybody's different, man. And you like, the other fighters do like fishing. We've heard about that before. And I think it's, you don't get impatient by just waiting there. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm a little too ADD-ish.
No, you know, it's, whether I'm catching something or not, it's awesome in different ways. But dude, besides like fighting, dude, it's one of those thrills when you have something on the other end of the line, ripping line from your reel. Dude, it's just.
Now, do you eat what you catch? And like, have you ever gutted a fish? Cause I'm such a fucking fruit that when I'm in a restaurant, if they don't take all the bones out, I'm afraid I'm going to choke to death.
I'll catch what I keep sometimes depending on what it is, but I usually just catch and release, man. I just like catch, you know, that's all. Throw it right back and then get right back after it, man.
Do you stand in those little, what are those lake boots, those waders? Do you wear those?
In the wintertime, man, I'll be out there like this past winter, last couple winters, man, I was out there, dude, ice is fucking forming on the top of the water. I'll be out there in those and like bundled up fishing.
So you get it, you get it out, maybe snap a picture and then just throw it back in?
Yeah, man. Get a good picture with it, release it, give it a kiss. Who knows?
What do you listen to music while you do it? Or do you think?
To be honest with you, I just try to be real present, man. I think that's the thing about it that works really well for me, man. It just takes my mind off everything else. I don't really listen to music while I do it. If I'm on the beach, I will, you know, like summertime, throw a little tunes on, maybe have a drink. But usually, man, it's just me and nature out there, you know?
So you could go camping by yourself? Like, could you spend like, say, a couple of days in a tent just kind of fishing by yourself?
Weeks, man. I'd go out there for weeks, bro. I love solitude, man.
Really?
I'm craving the solitude even more, for sure.
Wow. And you don't mind being disconnected from technology and all that stuff?
Disconnected from technology? If I had the choice, I wouldn't have a phone or any social media, man.
You know who he sounds like? Sean Strickland. We've talked to him too. Didn't he say that, Matt? Like he just wants to he likes to be off by himself and like, I don't know if he likes outdoors, but I think he wants to just get a cabin in the woods and live there. I don't want to misquote him because last thing I need is him fucking angry at me. But,
I think he's open for an apocalypse so he can live like fucking Mad Max or some shit. Sean Strickland. That would be his ideal fucking fantasy.
Oh man, that'd be something, you know, living out on your own. But I'm more of a beach guy than a woods guy.
Yeah, beach is nice in theory, but I burn and I'm in shit shape, so I look terrible in a bathing suit. So I mean, last time I went on the beach, I was with a girl, I was on a date, and I was wearing black jeans and a t-shirt. I look like such an asshole. So I try to avoid the beach, you know.
Oh really, man? Beach is the best, bro. I live for the beach.
Hey, Pat, what were you doing in Russia? And I heard you went to a sambo tournament and won a sambo tournament in Russia. When was that?
Like, what was it? 2000, like around 2015 through like 2017, I got into like combat sambo.
Oh, how did you get into that?
I've always admired like guys like Khabib and stuff like that. I love their style. And I'm like, you know what? I really want to, you know, try this out and stuff. I went to Kazakhstan, Scotland, Moscow twice, Turkey, got to travel, got to get some, you know, international experience going against guys from other countries. It was awesome, man. It was freaking awesome.
But you were already skilled grappling. Were you already training on the Daniel? Were you?
Yeah, well, no. Already in jiu-jitsu, wrestling, MMA and everything. Oh,
so you wanted to try the sambo out?
Yeah, I just want to try it.
What were the rules, buddy? Like, so I know. Like, what were?
Oh, dude, the rules. It's basically like you get points for, you knock someone down, you get points for like throwing someone. If you throw someone from your feet, you remain standing and their back hits the ground, the match is over. You're allowed to punch, you're allowed to headbutt. I learned that one the hard way, man. I locked up with somebody and he went like this. Boom, man, gave me a nice shiner. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, man, it was. They take that stuff real serious over there. It was a good experience.
When he did it, were you expecting it to be stopped, thinking it was an accidental headbutt, or did you immediately know, like, oh, I should have read these rules?
Yeah, I was like, God, you know, I should have been more prepared for that one. But Hey, you live and you learn, right?
Yeah, where'd you grow up? I hear like a Philly accent. Am I wrong?
Yeah, yeah. I'm from maybe like 20 minutes north of Philly. It's called Bristol, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, I've worked there many times. I grew up in Jersey, so I kind of know that area fairly well.
Nice. What part of Jersey?
North Brunswick. It's right by Rutgers.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm familiar with the area.
Yeah, about 90 minutes north of Philly. Yeah, it's one of my favorite cities. South Street is so great because you just know that at any moment there can be an explosion. You know, you don't know why, but you know that a fight can break out at any second in Philadelphia.
Any given time, brother, anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Pat, not to get back to the Sambo thing, but how was the audience over there in Russia when you won? I can't see there was a lot of Americans over there winning.
Oh, man. Anytime like American did good, they kind of like, you know, would look at you like, you know, cold shoulder, mean mug you. But once they seen you had that spirit to go, they were like, they kind of like respected you, you know, it was tense during the tournament, but after the tournament, everything was fine.
Very cool.
Paul Felder, he's from around there, right? I mean, we all love Paul Felder and he loves you too.
Oh, dude, as a person, fighter, he's awesome, man. He's awesome. He's from Philly too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we talked many times about Philly. I have so many friends in Philadelphia. There's a lot of fighters, boxers, MMA. There's a lot of fighters from Philadelphia. That city, I mean, breeds guys fighting.
Yeah, you know, like I feel like the guys are really gritty. You know, they're not afraid to get their hands dirty. You know, work hard. You know, like blue collar. It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. I feel like in our gym, most of the guys are like that.
What'd you do before you fought?
Before I fought, like I had my first amateur fight when I was 17. So I've been fighting for a while, but I went to school for business. I got my degree in business, but you know, my life took a different path.
Sure.
Which I'm glad it did. Cause this is such amazing lifestyle, man. Just being able to do what I love for a living. I'm truly blessed, man.
Well, shoot, man, you're 4-0 now in the UFC. What's next? Who's next?
Who is up to the UFC? Probably going to take a couple of days, get a lot of fishing in and get right back to the gym. I just want to get better, man. That's all I care about. I just want to get better. I want to keep it going. I just want to evolve from fight to fight. That's my mission. I just want to be the best I could be. That's all.
Jimmy wants to know if you've seen the new Batman. I go, don't ask him about the silly movie. You see,
man, I'm not into superhero movies, man.
Me neither, man. So yeah. They're different kids. Jimmy always brings them up. I go, Jimmy, don't embarrass me.
I like the new Batman. It's really cool because he's upbeat. Like, I hate melancholy, shitty Batman. This guy's like upbeat and humorous. And he's like kind of flamboyant. Like, so, you know, I'm Batman. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of like this guy.
Nah, don't listen to him. It's a really good movie, though, Pat. You don't have to like superhero movies, but like this movie. I'm telling you. All right.
Batman stinks.
I was doing so good. You were doing so good. We almost had Pat. It was a great interview. And you had to bring up Batman.
I apologize. Pat, it was you're a fun guy to watch, man. I mean, congratulations. That was a great fight. And again, Laramie's a very tough guy. And I was very impressed that he managed to survive a couple of those moments. You were really, really dominant.
Yeah, man. You know, like when I seen I don't really look at them, but like people were telling me about the predictions, the odds, and, you know, kind of mainly people that don't train, you know, get in my ear, like, you're going to smoke this guy. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. Every fight, you don't know what that person's going to bring. I knew this guy was dangerous. Like, he's a great wrestler, you know, powerful right hand. So yeah, man, if I don't go into a fight respecting what that person has to offer and, you know, kind of going in with just the right amount of fear, then I shouldn't be in there. You know what I mean? So, like I said, you know, it was a slow start, but I'm glad, you know, got the job done. I would have loved to get the finish, but, you know, that's something I could work on for the future for sure.
When does the fear go away? Before we let you go, what like you said, like, is it the first punch or is it the moment that you guys touch gloves or when does it dissipate?
So for me, I feel like it's different for everybody. Like right before like the walkout and right when they're announcing your names, that's like the worst part for me. It's like, and like, let's just get it started. Cause after the first exchange or two, I just let the subconscious and the training take over. And, you know, then, you know, the thinking's out of it, and, you know, just everything's fine. You know, the nerves start going away.
But you know what? It's funny. You said the introductions and the walkout get you a little bit.
Oh, man, dude, especially when it's that fight before you. Oh, man, that's the worst, dude. It's like you want to get in there, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, you know, that fight could take maybe another round before we walk out.
So you hate it when you're up next and you hear, you know, it's 30 seconds into the first round. And it's like, all right, you're up. It was a TKO. Like, oh, fuck.
I always expect that, too, when it's the fight before mine. I'm like, you know, I wouldn't mind if it went full three rounds, but in my head, I'm like, watch, this is going to end real fast.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to be on the fucking card after Shamayev, you know, like the fight right after him, because you're like, this could end very fast.
Exactly, man. I did your beat.
Well, Pat, it was great talking to you. You're great. I'm sure we'll have you on again, and have fun fishing, and congrats, man. It was a great win for you.
Yo, guys, thank you so much for having me on. Absolute pleasure. Hope the rest of your day and week goes great.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you, Pat.
Tell Daniel I said hello, please.
Absolutely, brother. Nice talking to you, bro.
Take care, Pat.
Be good, Pat. I wish I could enjoy fishing, Matt, but I just can't.
Jimmy, you have to embarrass us with the whole superhero talk. You're a goddamn grown-up.
Can't help it. You didn't like when I said Batman was flamboyant and said, I'm Batman. You didn't like that?
Because one, it's not true.
When I turned him into Paul Lynde?
It's such a good movie, Jimmy. Something in the way. Ready? Listen.
Sure.
Ooh.
Hello? Yeah.
Something in the way. That's my Nirvana. Oh, I'm sorry. You were taking a call?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
What else do we got to talk about?
I think we've covered it.
Jimmy, I always have a good time talking to
you. I do too. It's always fun.
In a couple of days, I love talking to Al Foran, the Irish impersonist. Impersonist?
Yes. Yes. Impressionist.
Jimmy, I'm Jimmy. Can we get that out of the show, please?
No.
Impressionist.
No, it's an impersonant. Or do it again.
He's a comedian. He's an Irish comedian.
But he's a what?
Impressionist.
There you go. You said impersonist.
No.
Oh.
It didn't sound right. It didn't sound right, Jimmy, no. To me. And it was absolutely wrong. Hey, congrats to everybody, all the victors. Bahal Muhammad. Oh.
Great job by Bilal. Yeah.
Good, man. Good for you. What do you want to plug, buddy?
I got coming up. You know, you can get me on Cameo. Thank you to the DC Improv and the people that came. It was incredible the week. And I have the Stress Factory in Bridgeport, Connecticut, May 6th and 7th. June 3rd, I have Jim Thorpe, PA. June 4th is Delaware. June 10, 11, Point Pleasant, New Jersey, Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. That will sell out. So come see me. More dates being added soon.
Jimmy, you're so productive. I want to thank all my students, that my black belts that made it out the other day to the old Black Belt Summit, little Jedi gathering.
That's nice.
And it was such a good time. And the fighters that fought over the weekend, good job, my guys. You know, and that's it, brother. Sarah BJJ. That's it, bro. I'm on Cameo. I will see you in a couple of days, my friend.
All right, pal. See you Wednesday.
Yes. Go give it a chance, the Batman. And I
will definitely watch. I'm going to watch Dune because of you too. I'll give both of those movies a watch.
All right. Yeah, and that's a lot to get in before next show. So get going.
I'm
going
to go shit. Talk to you soon. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.